Now, regulars will know that we don't normally have two people in the pulpit, so we have a visiting preacher with us this morning, as we said earlier, our brother Conrad Mbewe from Zambia, Lusaka. A number of us met Conrad, or at least heard him, a few years ago at Aberystwyth, and as a result of that, we invited him to come and speak for this, our 150th church anniversary. But apart from that, many of us know very little about Conrad. So I've asked him if he would answer a few questions for us this morning, just to fill in a few of the gaps. Conrad, as you can see, a number of us are of more mature years. And we would have grown up with stories of David Livingstone and Africa being known as Darkest Africa. Today, we still send missionaries to Africa, but we have been blessed this weekend with your presence and your ministry, and I'd appreciate it if you could fill in a few of the gaps for us. First of all, we know you're married because your wife, Phyllis, is with us here this morning. She's the lady sitting next to Linda, for those of you who don't know, okay? How many children do you have?
Thank you very much for giving me an opportunity to share a little bit about myself and the work back home. My wife and I have been blessed with three children, and then we've also adopted another three in the African traditional context. That simply means we didn't have to go to sign any papers anywhere, and they are from the wider family circles, those that lost either one parent or both, and consequently we have raised them up. So we've got three boys and three girls, the youngest being late teens and the oldest in the mid 30s, married and also giving us two grandchildren.
Lovely. I didn't think about the grandchildren, so thank you for adding that bit. Actually, you don't look old enough to have children in the mid-30s. We know that you're pastor of Kabwata Baptist Church. Can you tell us why and when that church started, please?
Kabwata Baptist Church was planted by the Lusaka Baptist Church, and that was the first English-speaking Baptist Church in Lusaka. That is the Lusaka Baptist Church. Towards the end of the 70s, they planted a church on the northern part of Lusaka, and that was now independent by 1980. So they began to look around Lusaka to see which other area would be in need of a conservative evangelical church. And Kabwata was one such area. There were one or two large nominal mainline churches, and then a few charismatic churches were also starting up. But there wasn't anything that was conservative evangelical. And that's how Kabwata Baptist Church was planted in that area. And that was in 1981.
Okay. So that's when the church started, but you've not been the pastor from the beginning. Can you tell us when you took up the pastorate, and how many members there were at that time, and how many members you have today?
The church planting process went on for about 5 years. So in January 1986, the church was set apart with its own leadership. And hence they began the search for a pastor. And a year later, they got to be given my name. I went there to preach with a view to a call, and they extended a call to me at the end of July of 1987. I was already working in the copper mines as a mining engineer, and so I gave my employers 1 month's notice, and the 1st of September 1987, I then crossed over back into Lusaka and began pastoral ministry there. At that time, the church did not have anything to its sort of assets. There was no church building. There was no pastor's house. The church was meeting in a community welfare hall with approximately 35 members. We have since gotten land and put up our main auditorium, a ministry center, and also a pastor's house. And the church is currently with about 430 members. My wife and I are among the oldest, by the way. So gives you a little bit of an idea of the age range.
When I've picked up that information over the table and chatting in the home, it has thrilled my soul to think that starting with 35 and they are today a membership of over 400. We worship a great God. We're going to come back to that in a little while. We've been blessed with your ministry this weekend. I know that you were in London last weekend. You were at the London Seminary on Friday. And I know that from here you go to the USA tomorrow. So you're pastor of Kabwata, but how much time do you spend overseas each year?
Yes, beginning in 1990, the church leadership agreed that I would be given 13 weeks a year for external ministry, and that really went on for a solid 20 years. However, a decision was made a few years ago that the church should now have another pastor to work with me, an associate pastor. And the reason that decision was made was, first of all, to provide a more systematic ministry in my absence. But secondly, over the 20 plus years, my ministry, initially, the 13 weeks were almost 100% spent ministering to Zambian churches. But over that 20-year period, there was quite a shift, and consequently, almost all the 13 weeks tends to be taken up by churches outside Zambia. The main reason is quite simple. The churches in Zambia tend to think, well, you know, you're a guy across the road, so they'll ask you, are you available next month to preach for us? My diary now tends to fill up much earlier than that. In fact, I'm now taking invitations for 2018 and 2019. So clearly, by the time they are coming, it's too late. And so the church leadership felt that I could then provide extra weeks for churches within the country, and especially our own church plants that needed ministry from me as well. So currently, I only spend 24 Sundays a year with Kabwata Baptist Church. My fellow pastor does another 12, so that brings us to 36. And then we have 14 Sundays a year, which are filled in with special events, speakers that come for conferences, our own other elders. And then we run an internship program. And so those younger pastors-to-be are also given one or two Sundays that fills up the rest of the year.
Sounds very much like our church. The reason I asked Conrad to say that was just to give us some idea of how God is blessing and using the church in Africa. There's one last question that I want to ask Conrad. As he introduced the church to us this morning, he said that Lusaka Baptist Church had planted a church, then it planted Kabwata. But since Kabwata has become an independent church, have you any idea how many other churches you've planted, and do you maintain regular contact with those churches?
I often joke when I'm asked that question that I stopped counting at 10. Yeah, but more seriously, It's definitely between 20 and 30. At least we've sent out between 20 and 30 missionaries to plant churches. And if you are not familiar with Zambia, the main routes across Zambia are from the south to the north and then west to the east. And they cross in Lusaka. So Lusaka is right in the central position. And if you were to go from that south point to what we call the Copper Belt, we've planted churches in almost all of those towns. And then also if you go from the west to the east, again we've planted churches in almost all the towns from Angola all the way to Malawi. And then also outside Zambia, in Namibia, in Botswana, and in Malawi, we've planted churches. And currently, our furthest church plant, which began last year, is in Sierra Leone, which is in sort of west, northwest of Africa. Those are the main church plants. A number of them have since become independent. They're no longer daughter churches, they are sister churches. And consequently, I do travel around to see how the churches are doing.
Great. Conrad, thank you ever so much. And again, please, when you eventually get back to Gabwata, thank the elders. No, in fact, you'll be able to do it this afternoon. This man is so tech savvy. He's on to everything. Please thank the elders and the church members for releasing you to this ministry.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We're going to come to prayer, but I don't know how you feel after a testimony like that, but I can understand why Conrad loves the first hymn we sang this morning, Great is the Gospel of our Glorious God. We have a gospel to tell to the nations. Here in Wales, we have to admit that we're at a low ebb, but this gospel is still doing its work throughout the world. And we can thank God for that. And it has just lifted my soul, spending time with our brother and sister this weekend. And to be honest with you, it's fired me up. So, you know, let's look at how we can trust our God. And as Daniel says, they who know their God will do exploits. Let's do exploits with our God. Let's come to him now in prayer.